Senator Chris Murphy is a man of his word. When he was a congressman and we loved our conversations with him, he said, if he gets into the United States Senate, he's going to continue to talk to us. He has. We are flattered. And it's just wonderful to have you here, Chris.
I'm a really important guy now, but I still remember where I got my start.
There you are. We got you started. Okay, so that's right, because that brings me right into my first question of this congressional corner, and that is, everywhere I go, people say to me, they say, okay, who's it going to be? Is Hillary really want to run again? Does Bernie really want to run again? I say, I know the person. I know the guy. He's perfect for this campaign and for everything else in 2020, and that's Senator Chris Murphy.
And all right, look, next topic.
And then they look at me and they say, sometimes they say, oh, yeah, he's great. And then sometimes I say, who's that? So you just keep doing what you're doing. I can't tell you the kind of pride I have every time I see you on, as we say around here, on the TV or on the radio. It's just wonderful to see how courageous and direct you've been. So thank you for that.
Well, listen, it feels like a moment in which if you're in the United States Senate, if you've got a platform like I have, you've got to do everything you can with it to try to raise objections to some of the really hateful and divisive things that are being proposed, to some of the rhetoric coming out of the White House. To me, it's part of the job description. I wish it weren't. Obviously, I wake up every day with my priority being trying to help people in Connecticut and trying to create jobs in Connecticut. But I also have to be part of this national conversation because, you know, this country is potentially at an inflection point, and we've got to figure out which direction we're heading. To me, it's not putting up walls, closing our borders, creating divisions, and I'll use whatever means I have to try to make that case.
But there are so few like you. I mean, I know that you're not going to like that, because you're a guy who doesn't like to be, you know, stole all over the place. But there are so few people who have your kind of voice in all of this. And I wonder, what are they afraid of? What is it? Because we are in a national nightmare right now, and we all know it.
I don't think that there's really a difference. I think there's a sense of gravity about where we are. You know, when I talk to my colleagues, I think to the extent that sometimes my voice cuts through, it's because it's my voice, right? You know, if you're subscribing to me on Twitter or Facebook, you know, you're hearing me. I mean, I do all of, you know, my own stuff there, almost all of it. Often when you're, you know, when you're reading something where I'm quoted, right, that's not a press release that was written by a staffer in my office. That's me. So it means that sometimes I'm a little bit more hard-edged because, you know, when I hear, you know, this administration proposing to rip healthcare away from hundreds of thousands of people in Connecticut, I get angry, and that comes out. But, you know, sometimes, you know, other people in the Senate or in the Congress, they have their, you know, their public statements vetted by 16 people before they ever get sent out. That's not me. I'm talking directly to my constituents and to, you know, the people that follow me online and read my stuff. And sometimes, you know, I hope that comes through.
Yeah, well, it comes through, and you're very intelligent. But the same thing could be said about Donald Trump. He says whatever comes to his mind. Unlike you, he's not, you know, he's not as good. I mean, he sort of is all over the place, contradicts himself,
lies. But he's good enough to get elected president.
Absolutely.
We do have to remember that, you know, big parts of the public out there think that politicians are just full of it, think that everything we say is in a foreign language, that we don't talk like regular people, that we don't understand what they're going through, when what they're going through is hell. You know, this economy has recovered for 2 or 3% of the American population, and everybody else is worse off when they look at where they were 10 years ago or where they looked or where they hoped to be today 10 years ago. So, you know, being authentic, talking, you know, real voice, speaking to real concerns out there, that's a lost art form in politics today.
We're talking to United States Senator Chris Murphy. Chris, let me go to healthcare because it's at the top of everybody's list. The White House is saying they have the votes to do it in the Congress, and we're getting a spate of stories say they want to change the rules so you don't need 60 senators anymore. You only need 51, just like they did with Gorsuch, the so-called nuclear option. Do you take them seriously?
Well, I don't think they have the votes right now in the House of Representatives to pass this abomination of a health care bill. I mean, this is a bill that would, this is not me, this is the Congressional Budget Office. The Congressional Budget Office says this bill would rip health care away from 24 million Americans, would immediately jack up rates for everybody by 15 to 20%, would result in older Americans being charged thousands of dollars more a year, all in order to fund a tax cut for the richest 2 or 3% of Americans, people making over $250,000 a year. That's an absolute travesty. It doesn't solve a single problem in our healthcare system, and it doesn't do what Donald Trump said he was going to do, which is get people coverage that's cheaper and better without anybody losing their health care. So I don't think this bill has the votes today in the House of Representatives. Maybe they squeak it through, but I don't think the rules of the Senate are changing anytime soon. They changed for Gorsuch's nomination. I don't think that they're going to change in order to push this health care reform bill forward, which means you're likely going to need more than 50 votes in order to get this version of the bill through the Senate.
But I don't get it, because if they did what they had to do to get Gorsuch through, why wouldn't they do the same thing to get their health care bill? Because if they have the health care bill, then they have the money. If they have the money, they have the tax code and all the rest of it. Why do you think that their ethics and sense of fair play are going to change?
Well, all I know is what happened, which is when the Gorsuch vote happened, the rules were changed. And at the same time, a group of 60-some-odd senators wrote a letter saying that they pledged not to change the rules for anything beyond the Supreme Court nomination. I do think there is a group of old guard Republicans who want to keep the filibuster for non-judicial, non-presidential appointment votes. Now, Alan, you know, we've talked before, I have been a critic of the filibuster. I mean, I think that we should step back and have a conversation about whether or not we want to have 60 votes be the requirement on every single piece of legislation and every amendment in the United States Senate. But I think that conversation should happen outside of a particular legislative crisis. You shouldn't be changing the rules in order to push forward one nominee or one piece of legislation. You should step back and make a decision, Republicans and Democrats, whether or not the current supermajority makes sense. I frankly don't think it makes sense, but I don't want to see the rules changed just because they want to get one particular piece of legislation passed.
So 60 senators say that they won't change those rules, to which I refer you to the Princess Bride and the famous line, liar. I mean, how do we know that they're going to keep their word?
Well, you don't, except for the fact that they can move health care reform, or at least pieces of it, without 60 votes. So there's this process called reconciliation, which once a year allows you to pass something budget-related with 50 votes. And there are big parts of health care repeal that can be done under reconciliation. So they don't need 60 votes in order to do a lot of what they want on taxes and health care. And that, in part, removes for them the imperative to change the rules.
We always love talking to Senator Chris Murphy of Connecticut, a man who many people are saying, despite the fact that he says he's going to hang up if I say it again, is a real good possibility for running on the Democratic ticket for president of the United States. Thank you for being with us, Chris. And when we come back the next time, let's talk about Buy American laws, okay?
Great. Thanks.